Thank you, Michael. Now some news of raising money for charities, one involving skydiving and the other holding coffee mornings. We then hear of some tales of woe concerning rail travel and news of a chocolate shop closing weeks after opening.
Three former canaries will be flying high and then dropping thousands of feet in a bid to raise £3,000 for charity. Adam Drury, Ryan Jarvis and Simon Lappin, who have 21 years of Norwich City playing experience between them, will take a 13,000-foot leap from the sky at Ella Airfield. Mr. Drury, who does not like heights or jumping, admitted he had not fully thought it through when the skydive was proposed. He said, "It's become a reality and I've got to go through with it now." His nerves are understandable, given that this is his first taste of an extreme sport. He said, "You can't control it, unlike a football game, although Simon Lappin is a trained pilot and told me it would be a piece of cake. It's for charity, which is the most important part." The skydive is in aid of the Community Sports Foundation, or CSF, which supports the most disadvantaged, disabled and talented people across Norfolk in achieving their goals through sport. Mr. Drury, who has worked at CSF for 3 years, has loved every minute of his new career. He said, "It gives young people lots of options so they can make better decisions and prepare them to go into the real world. Young people's education is massively important. The foundation's reach speaks for itself. Over 38,000 young people are given continuous help, support and mentoring every year. Donations from the skydive will go towards CSF's education program. The education program funds a Cambridge National Extended Diploma in Sport over a 2-year period. It enables 16 to 18-year-old aspiring footballers to continue both their academic and sporting career development. Among the diploma's numerous success stories is Billy Johnson, who joined Norwich City last year as a goalkeeper. And he said, "If it wasn't for the CSF program, I wouldn't be here right now." The skydive is also open to the general public.
For more than a decade, Norfolk's Big C charity has been encouraging people to put the kettle on and get baking for its Big Cuppa campaign. Now, as the charity prepares to host this year's coffee morning on Norfolk Day, Saturday, July the 27th, it is hoping to bring together as many people as possible. Asking individuals, cafes, offices and workplaces to all get involved, the aim of the Big Cuppa campaign is to raise funds for the charity's work to improve the lives of those affected by cancer in Norfolk and Waveney. Tom Holmes, event coordinator at Big C, said, "One thing that brings us together as a community is food and drink. That's why we have chosen to hold this year's event on Norfolk Day. It represents everything we are good at, uniting for a good cause and celebrating all things Norfolk. At our support centres, we see firsthand the comfort that someone who is feeling vulnerable can find in being offered a cup of tea and a chat. Norfolk's coffee morning reflects this in that we are encouraging everyone to spend some time together, enjoying a cuppa and cake, whilst raising money for local people affected by cancer." Charlie Hodson, a Norfolk Day ambassador and chef, who along with others has donated recipe ideas to this year's Big Cuppa fundraising packs, said, "There's no better way to bring people together than through a slice of Norfolk cake and a cup of tea. It's the perfect synergy with Norfolk's cancer charity and the best culinary offering in Norfolk coming together to help you support a stranger who may never meet, but whose life you will change."
A busy commuter train was hit by a falling tree while travelling at about 75 miles per hour near Heatherset. The 5:10 p.m. Cambridge to Norwich train hit the tree at around 6:30 p.m. A window was smashed and the front of the train was damaged, but no one was hurt. Passenger Chris Bolton, a computer software designer from Norwich who works in Cambridge, said, "It's normally a 3-carriage train, but this was only 2 carriages, so it was quite full. Everyone was just minding their own business when all of a sudden there was a huge bang and some debris flew past the window, and people were going, 'What was that?' Everyone on board was fine and remained calm. There was no panic or hysteria. The train conductor handled it pretty well. He just taped up the window, and after about an hour's delay, we limped into Norwich. The crew on board assessed the state of the line and the train before its journey to Norwich. The 6:14 p.m. Cambridge to Norwich train and the 8:19 p.m. Norwich to Cambridge train were cancelled as a result of the incident. There was further disruption as debris closed lines coming out of Norwich, meaning that Greater Anglia and East Midland trains were delayed or cancelled. The line was reopened at 9 p.m.
Passengers travelling on the Norwich to Great Yarmouth line have been struck with a number of cancellations this week. But for many commuters, this comes as no surprise, with many resorting to using other forms of transport due to the unreliability of trains. Jack Reeve, 21, from Great Yarmouth, uses the train line when he travels down to London. He said, "I only use the trains when I have to because you can't rely on them. I live near to the train station and I would like to use them more, but there are too many cancellations. I work in Norwich, but I drive because I'd be worried about turning up late if I used the trains." A train fault has been the cause of the majority of cancellations on the train line this week. A spokesman for Greater Anglia said it had been left with a shortage of diesel trains for rural routes after two trains were damaged by hitting a tree and vandalism. "We're very sorry for Norwich and Great Yarmouth customers who have been inconvenienced by cancellations." New trains are due to come into service on the Norwich to Great Yarmouth line this summer, which should improve train reliability and service for our customers. Despite the recent cancellations, last month we have seen punctuality on the line improve, with 93.4% of trains running on time. Latest figures reveal commuters have been disrupted by almost 4,500 train delays on the line between Norwich and Great Yarmouth since 2015. Technical fleet delays, a problem with the train which prevents it being able to move, have been the main cause of disruption across the last 4 years, accounting for 790 delays. Member of the East Norfolk Transport Users Association, Steve Hewitt, described the train service as really poor. "Passengers are hit with frequent delays, which is a great shame," he said. "We are constantly pushing Greater Anglia for improvements because the service is really poor." Mr. Hewitt said he hopes the introduction of new trains later this year will reduce the cancellation rate. Oliver Stewart, 32, who travels on the Great Yarmouth line, described the service as rubbish.
The English Chocolate Factory is the latest business to close down in the historic arcade in Norwich. But David Stott, one of the co-directors, told this newspaper there was just no footfall, it just wasn't cost-effective. "We know there's a demand for chocolates from the success of other shops, such as in Salisbury, but it just wasn't to be in Norwich. We were very excited at opening, but we just couldn't afford to keep it open. It's the latest blow for the privately owned Royal Arcade, which dates to 1899 and is 247 foot long. It's used to promote Norwich on various tourism websites, such as Visit Norwich, and its own website describes it as an oasis of calm, one of Norwich's hidden treasures, packed with classic and independent boutiques. The arcade is so much more than a landmark sitting proudly as the jewel in the Norwich crown. The reality is it's losing businesses fast with several empty units. Previous tenants, such as Jamie's Italian Restaurant, Berries and Grey Interiors, and the Bed Linen Company, all closed up, citing, amongst other reasons, the high rents. But the owners of the English Chocolate Company said it was lack of customers. There were big ambitions for the English Chocolate Company shop when it opened in the former Digby's shop space at the Gentleman's Walk end of the arcade. It was to be a business with a manager and training provided for staff to learn the art of making chocolates. But on Saturday, the decision was taken, said the owner, to close up. It was the plan that a kitchen would be put in next door to make chocolates rather than import them from Europe, with most loose chocolates bought from Belgium, France and Holland. But this never happened. The chocolate shop became renowned when it was Digby's, run by Digby Edison, who sold the business and the name in 2013 to start a new chocolate shop called Harold's in Cromer.
That's all from this part of Chatterbox. In a few minutes, Marianne Penn and John Francis will be presenting more news and information.
But for now, It's goodbye from me, Rupert Hipwell, and a special goodbye because this is my last Chatterbox. And I also want to make a special plea to a very dear reader who was kind enough to write to me and say how much she appreciated listening to Chatterbox. And she was particularly complimentary about our particular team. And the lady in question made reference to a relative who I used to go to school with many years ago. And it is my dear wish to reply to that lady. But very sadly, in my rather forgetful way, I've managed to discard the letter she wrote to me, and I have no idea of her name or address. And data protection regulations prevent me from getting that information from Chatterbox. So if that lovely lady is listening, I would love to hear from you again. In the meantime, it's goodbye from me, Rupert Hipwell, and
me, Sarah Lomax.